It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Well, it is a good life, living for the Lord, and it's a great life. It may not always be an easy life, but it is the best life. And God has promised us that one day we're going to see Him, and we're going to see the Lord, that is, if we've trusted Him as our Savior. You need to do that today if you've never done it. You need to trust the Lord. Well, today, we want to look in a few scriptures, and we're going to start in Romans chapter 10. But first, let me invite you to look at one of our websites, or you may want to look at both websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. On those websites, you'll be able to listen to these programs once again. You'll also be able to download some Bible study helps. And, God is so good to us, allowing us to share the gospel with people throughout the world. The internet makes that possible. And this internet goes all over the world. And we have people who listen, and they listen to the program, and they look at our websites. And look at those websites today, and you'll hear more about that at the end of the program. LRWM.org, and it's agoodliferadio.com. Well, in Romans chapter 10 and verse 11, then we're going to read a few verses down through here, starting verse 11. It says, starting therefore, the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. In other words, God makes no difference. It makes no difference who you are, race, creed, color, or your nationality or anything else. He's the same Lord. Well, verse 13 goes on to say in Romans 10, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Romans chapter 10 and verse 16 goes on to say, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah, in other words, Isaiah, saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Of course, the scriptures here that Paul is referring to is Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 1, where he says, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? You see, man is the same disobedient creature under all dispensations. We bemoan the rejection that man has done, and he's rejected the gospel, and Isaiah bemoaned this as well, and he spoke in the name of the whole company of the prophets when he said, who hath believed our report? You know, one of the greatest proofs today of the depravity of man's heart is that he will not obey the gospel any more than he will the law. He disobeys God whether he speaks to him in love or in law. In other words, Ten Commandments, or do this and do thou, and man refused that, and man just disobeys God. We go back in the Old Testament, and we see that the Bible says, thou shalt not, and, well, man disobeyed God in those orders and the Ten Commandments, and he also disobeys God when God says he loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life, John 3:16. Man disobeys God in love and in law. Now, when I say disobeys the law, the Ten Commandments, was given us to bring us to a knowledge that we couldn't save ourselves. The law cannot save, but God does not want us breaking those laws. But the law cannot save human beings. Jesus Christ is the only one who can save, and that without price. The law says you must do this and do that, and Jesus Christ's love, the salvation that he offers, says, I've done it all. Jesus paid the price that you and I could be saved by calling upon him. The gospel comes to men with the force of a command. It's not optional for men to accept or refuse the gospel at pleasure. Acts chapter 17, verse 30 says, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Well, the gospel command goes out to secure the honor of God. It's not an offer of an equal to an equal, but of the great God to a condemned sinner. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it makes the proclaimer bold. In other words, the one that gives the words out. The minister speaks boldly with his master's authority. And I would have you to know today that those individuals who name the name of the Lord have the authority to proclaim the message, the good news, that Jesus Christ came into the world to seek and to save those who are lost. And we have become ambassadors for our Lord, and He's given us the authority to proclaim the good news to this lost and dying world. We also have the proper authority to encourage the humble seeker, and this is what the gospel does. He must be at full liberty to believe in Jesus, and that is given to every man, woman, boy, and girl today. Full liberty to believe in Jesus, since he is commanded to do so and threatened if he does not do so. And you'll see more about that later. Well, in other words, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, and we will be with the Lord forever or face the devil's hell. The hell that was created for the devil and his angels, not for man. God did not create hell for a human being. The Bible says that hell was created for the devil and his angels. But it's sad to say that those people who do not trust Jesus as Savior, that's going to be their end, hell. And then they'll be cast into the lake of fire. Well, how can the gospel demand obedience? Well, it's by the authority of the sender. Whatever God commands, man is under obligation to do. The motive of the sender is this. Love shines in the gospel command, and no man should slight infinite love. It's the love of God, the great gift of the sender. In other words, the sender is God. He has given us his only begotten Son. And we see the earnestness of the sender, God. His whole heart is in the gospel. Note the high position which the plan of salvation occupies in the esteem of God. See, a Hindu once came to a missionary and said, "There are many things in Christianity that I find in Hinduism, but there's one thing which Christianity has and Hinduism has not." "What is that?" the missionary asked. The Hindu replied, "A savior." Well, there are many religions in the world today, but there is only one Christianity. There is only one Christ, and there is only one way to heaven, and that is through the Savior, Jesus Christ. What is the obedience required by the gospel? It's not the mere hearing or the liking or professing or proclaiming, but a hearty obedience to his command. It claims, first of all, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says this, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 says, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." It's not only faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that we look at, but it's the renunciation of self-righteousness and confession of guilt. In other words, we're not saved by doing that, but it's a byproduct of what we get when we get saved. We can be right without being self-righteous. It's all of Christ. Will Rogers said this. And some may not know who Will Rogers was, and I have to admit, I've only read about him. Some people think I'm that old, but I'm really not that old to have known him or to have seen him personally. Well, I never did see him personally, but he was considered to be, and I don't know if you would call him an orator, but he was a speaker. He said, "I always like to hear a man talk about himself, because then I never hear anything but good. But God says we're all guilty. We are all guilty before an all-seeing God according to the Bible." public confession of His name in His own way, namely, when we get saved. We go before a group of individuals and we say, not necessarily with our mouth, but with our actions, by being baptized, by being immersed into that water. What we're doing, we're saying this: I have trusted the Lord. I believe He saved me by His death, burial, and resurrection. We are proclaiming Jesus Christ. We see man is not saved by baptism. Man is saved by Jesus Christ through His blood. And when he accepts Jesus Christ as his Savior, then he gets baptized and he is proclaiming Jesus as his Lord and Savior. So a powerful argument to prove the enmity of man's heart against God is the unsuccessfulness of the gospel, which can be resolvable into nothing else but such an enmity. In other words, when a man or a woman refuses the gospel, they are shaking their fists in the face of God. You see, the design of the gospel is to bring us into a union with the Son of God and to believe on Him whom the Father hath sent. Christ seeks to gather in souls to God, but many times they will not be gathered. And to disobey the gospel is far worse than to break the law. You see, disobedience to the law, and once again, there is no remedy in the gospel. There is a remedy in the gospel, against the gospel. And you break the law, the Bible teaches us that we're sinners. The law teaches us that we're sinners. And the way that we get a remedy to that is by obedience to the gospel, by receiving Jesus Christ. Jim Elliot, a missionary, said God always gives His best to those who leave the choice with Him. Well, God's choice for you today is to know Jesus as your Savior. Have you trusted Him as your Lord and Savior? Romans chapter 10 and verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word "whosoever" means you. And if you've never trusted Him, if you've never asked Jesus into your heart, you need to do that today. You need to say, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I know I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I receive You as my Savior." If you refuse to do that, if you refuse to ask Jesus to save you, then you're in disobedience to the gospel. And I remind you, there is no other way to heaven. There is no other way to please God, because He sent His Son for you. And when you honor the Son, you are honoring God. When you ask Jesus to come into your heart, you are honoring Jesus and the Father. Why not do that right now? Ask Jesus to come into your heart. He'll save you. "Lord Jesus, save me. I can't save myself. I confess my sin to You." Now, you can't confess every sin that you've ever done, but He knows about them. And if you're willing to say, "Lord, I confess my sin to You, please cleanse me." And if you're a saved person, you need to come to Him today. If you've strayed away from Him, you're still saved once you've asked Him into your heart. And you need to come to Him today. Say, "Lord, forgive me. I want to confess sin in my life, and I want to be used. Please forgive me and help me to be a better witness for You, to bring honor and glory to You today."
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.